Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Woodall. Who's next?
Oh my gosh, last time you screamed. To my right.
You're welcome.
Who's next?
Welcome to NPR.
Okay, I'll go next. I'm Bryce Armstrong. Who's next?
I'm Andrew McKinley.
Thank you.
And that only leaves Brett Welty.
Who?
Yeah, it's hard to say.
I don't know who that is.
It's nice to meet y'all.
I need to do that again. I sounded way too sultry. We're going to cause some listeners to stumble. with my voice.
I'm Andrew McKinley.
I'm Andrew McKinley. Dang it, Bobby.
Welcome to Slow Jam the Podcast.
Is that a new thing?
That's probably a thing.
Is that another branch of this
media? We're not rebranding.
Welcome to Talking About Bible Things with us.
And you.
Idiots.
Idiots?
Yeah. How y'all doing?
Fantastic.
Anyways, are you asking? Should we
with the listener?
Oh no, should we debrief a little bit and see how everyone's doing?
Sure.
Yeah.
Not me first. Sorry.
Nose goes.
I already said it. I don't have to put my finger.
I don't think that's how nose goes works.
I'm better. Brett, you can go first.
Okay. What am I doing? Debriefing people?
Yeah. Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah. So we didn't do it on the last podcast, so I don't know how far back we want to go. So we won't go super long. But for those that care, for the tens of listeners that we have, I finished my degree. I started a new job with the same company. I added another child. And you know, that's probably enough for now. But yeah, no, a lot of good changes and a lot of other changes as well as life goes on. So very good. The kid's doing great. Everything's good. Yeah, so kind of boring.
Your life is anything but boring.
Like, okay, so, but it does feel like stable. Like, there's always stuff going on, but like, it does seem...
Stability doesn't mean boring.
Yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe that's true.
Your life interests me. We got these books to not do that.
Yeah, to make that noise.
I cannot with you.
Here, I'm done with my coffee. You just
This is going to be great.
Oh, leave it all.
I'm leaving all of this.
You need to leave it all in. It's 100%. Hilarious.
It is.
I'm trying to lighten it up. We were so serious before.
I know.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I did miss from the last one? I'm going to be 100% honest. I missed that beginning thing we did. We used to do when you would find some stupid random article.
Oh.
I miss that.
Well, maybe we'll bring it back.
We'll see.
I don't know. I'm just feeling it out.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. I was just talking to the people tonight about...
Who?
People, I don't know, at that birthday party.
Hey, we don't shout out without a little bit of scratch.
Shout out to Dave Ryder.
My girlfriend, Dave Ryder. She's just in Canada.
What? I was talking to people about how I miss, or how you just randomly have these questions and we're completely unprepared and how stressful it is to me. And I don't like it.
I love it.
I don't.
I'm at the exact same level of preparedness.
It gives me so much anxiety.
What?
So zero.
I was spacing. So
You were reading a text. I know. I was watching. You were hiding your phone.
I got a text from my wife. I have to hide it.
Well,
he wasn't hiding. I could see it in his glasses.
I won't tell you about it. It's personal.
You read it like right up your face.
Yeah, you did.
I know. I can't see. It wouldn't like recognize my face.
Because there's a mic in the way.
What a dang robot.
You got them new glasses, got some quad focals, so it's got to be like right there.
Dude, last time it was so cold in here, I'm sweating.
I know, it's hot now.
It's hot, yeah. So it is hot. Coffee,
man. It's fine.
We're going to take shirts off.
We're having a good time.
We skins will be skins.
That's we were good until now.
All four of us are wearing suit jackets and boxers.
Yeah, I'm wearing shorts. No, I'm in jeans.
Are you?
Yeah.
Dude, it is 90 degrees outside.
Well, no, it's okay. We went to Sean's, and I did not want to get bit up.
Yeah, but we stayed in the garage the whole time.
I know.
I
was like, I'm not getting bit up. I wear high socks.
Yeah, mosquitoes. Because I'm like,
I will not get. Yeah, right.
Not mosquitoes. Chiggers.
Chiggers.
Also hate garages.
No.
That is I mean, they.
Where'd you get that information?
Yahoo.
Alex Jones?
Yahoo.
CNN. What?
not Yahoo News.
Fake news.
Oh man. Andrew, how you doing? Man, I'm clipping all over the place.
I'm doing good. I think same thing. I don't know what the update was the last time we talked.
There was
about
no
it.
Update.
Yeah, we didn't even do it.
No,
yeah,
I mean like way back. Yeah,
way back.
Oh.
So I'm just going to go ahead and say I've gone from zero kids to one and one on the way.
There you go.
Dang, son.
I like that you said one and one on the way, not one and a half.
That's silly.
That is silly.
That would be weird.
We are absolutely at 2/3 at this point.
Yeah, it's obviously 0.6.
Dumb. Yeah, don't be dumb, Bryce.
Yeah, don't you know math?
My bad.
Yeah. You're admitting you don't know math.
But yeah, yes.
I am horrible at math. I will admit that any day of the week.
Yes.
I am not
so,
good at it.
So Brittany and I adopted a little beautiful little girl.
She's the best. I
love and
her.
She is ridiculously cute. It is painful. And then she's going to marry Alistair.
there you go.
Winnie and Alistair.
That's fine.
Which is my son, by the way. This
yes,
is
yeah. yeah
weird.
Sorry, yeah. I'm dropping names like people know.
That's all right.
And your then, kid's marrying mine. That's already been arranged.
Yeah.
Working it out.
Yeah, Maverick and Zipporah are getting married.
That's true.
We're just gonna,
all going to be related.
We're just going to need like a cattle inbreeding chart to make sure that we keep it all genetically pure.
I mean,
yeah, I got you.
Yeah,
we're all talking at the same time. It's so chaotic.
That's
all
right. That's right.
It's called cacophony. Continue.
The people will hear what's important.
Thank you.
That's true. Which is me and Andrew.
Yeah.
We're not important.
That's not true. Go ahead, Andrew. I'm sorry.
No, that's a good. I can't think of what else. That's about it. Yeah. So we got another one that's going to be born a month after Winnie turns one. So we'll go from.
I don't envy you.
It'll be interesting, but also awesome. I think it'll be multiple things at once.
And so sure.
Those are positive.
Great. Thank you.
That's about it.
Thank you for thinking this is a safe place to share.
With that being said, Bryce.
Oh, no. I kept the whole bunch bottled up. Don't you worry.
I found out that Hobby Lobby's CEO was involved with the Duggars.
No, he's involved with the crazy church
the
there.
The crazy church who knew the Duggars.
Yeah. Is he really?
He supported Gotham.
They recently pulled support. Like in the last,
like couple, so, this documentary.
The last couple years, yeah, when they found out that everything's going to hit the fan, they're kind of like, oh, maybe not.
How about we throw our money to Rick Warren?
So they, what is it with you and Rick Warren tonight?
I don't know. He's just fun. All right.
Easy.
He's easy.
Oh man.
Layup.
I mean, look at him.
I mean, look at his face.
I have
look
no
at that
idea
face.
What he
just
like.
Want to smack it.
That's fascinating to me.
That I don't know what Rick Warren looks like.
Yeah, I don't.
You know what? Who else I don't know? Anyone looks like? I don't know what John Piper looks like.
Okay.
I don't know, like Tim Keller looked like.
Well, there you go.
I don't know any of those people.
That's fair.
Because, what are you doing?
My favorite is you don't even have to type. You can just kind of go like this.
Is that a Rick Warren book?
No, it's John Piper.
Oh, John Piper.
Yeah.
I feel like John Piper. I feel like John Piper has the same body as Pastor Dave. I'm going to.
No, I think John Piper has like an Einstein looking. Bernie Sanders.
He looks like Bernie Sanders.
He's a Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders. Okay. So think Bernie Sanders, Larry David.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
John Piper.
That is perfect.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like straight up. Like he could
like
go
Bernie
for...
Bernie Sanders, but he doesn't eat all the
time. That is not what I imagine he would look like.
He's got some weird... No.
He got some...
Hey, man, you got some weird coats on. Got that from Goodwill.
Who dresses you?
My grandpa.
That's cute.
You're welcome.
We are
my footman Santiago. Obviously.
All right, I'll tell you how I'm doing.
How's it going, man?
I won't tell you anything that's going on in my life. I can't really.
Well, just
I don't even know what to say. I don't know how do I. My life has been chaotic.
Yeah.
The reason we stopped recording is because of me.
Thanks.
That's unfair.
No, it's unfair. That's not. It's very unfair.
It's not.
No,
because of the things.
There's no blame.
Because of the things.
Should you be under this bus? Maybe, but like we'll get under there with you.
Like,
we're not gonna just throw you.
We'll lay on top of you while it runs us.
That's
all
fair. That's fair.
We're not doing that.
It's there's been a lot happening in our lives, and a lot of it has not been good. But here we are. Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
There you go.
That's fine.
We'll move on. We won't linger.
Yeah.
Because silence will make you want to say more, and we won't do that.
No.
Yeah.
No. I'm not.
But we're not going to let that one stand, though. You didn't. You're not the reason we stopped recording.
Well.
Shh.
Whether that was true or not, we do this together. So.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Love you guys.
We're a team.
We're a team. There's no I in podcasting.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. You're bad at math. I'm bad at spelling.
You had to make that word the longest possible version of that word.
You just said podcast.
I could, but I knew there was no. Okay, anyway.
Podcasters.
Yeah, that's right.
Podcaster.
Podcastage.
Hey, Brandon, how you doing?
I'm good. Since we last recorded.
Yep.
That hasn't been that long ago.
Which was the middle of August, and we released it August 30th. I figured that out, by the way.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, okay.
So I had another kid, not me, but my wife. I got to catch this one.
You were there? Yeah.
That's dope.
My wife was there. Yeah, that was a crazy story.
So, did you do a water birth? Well, it was going to be a water birth, but...
Didn't get there.
Mm. Could have been a toilet birth, though.
Still water.
Still water, but I caught her. Winnie, it was awesome. Winnie was a bathtub baby. Yeah, that's dope. That's it was like, it was sweet. It was a crazy moment. And yeah, I don't know. Life changing in some ways. Gave me more confidence.
In what?
If you can catch a baby, you can do a lot.
I can do a lot of other things.
I feel like we could all catch a baby.
Well, it's like some people
you
like
catch a baby. You
I don't know if that's
ball.
Necessarily true.
I don't want to catch a baby. Like the thought.
No, that's cool, man.
I'm good.
I caught her in a towel.
Grow as a person. Oh, okay. I didn't do new things, Bryce.
No, I don't like being dirty.
In that moment, nothing matters. Like
I know, like your adrenaline is probably pumping.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's if I was this. In the moment, just sitting here thinking about it, though.
Yeah,
my whole body is cringing and I'm shaking.
That magic moment.
It's cute.
What else is going on?
You're joining a cult?
Yeah, where are we at?
We don't talk about that.
What's the order of the seed today?
I've had a couple of emails.
Have they taught you the handshake yet?
No.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
They're all over.
How much money have they asked you to
zero?
Donate?
$0.
Oh, good. Oh,
$0. $0. There's no money involved.
Oh, okay.
Every time I drive by a Masonic temple, I'm like, I wonder if they also go by the name
Order
the mustard seed.
Order of the mustard seed. Or, like, I wonder if he's in there. Oh,
it's like a DBA, like doing business ads.
There's
gonna, the mustard seed.
There's gonna be one day. You're gonna be driving by like the, what do they call the?
I don't know.
The Jewish temple.
Synagogue.
A synagogue. You would drive by a synagogue or a mosque. I'm just gonna walk out and they're like, what?
Who is this guy?
What's going on?
What
here?
Is happening? I thought you were a Christian.
I am.
Mm. Are you?
Because you're supposed to take the gospel to places, so.
Oh, I see. What you're saying. I thought you were going to mosques, though.
Yeah, that's my plan. I just need to be invited. I can't just show up.
Yeah,
it's a little different.
Like a vampire.
Yeah, it's a little different. So with Muslims, it's a lot of like hospitality.
Hmm.
So you need to gain their trust before you can just show up to a mosque.
Uh-huh. Sounds a lot like Fight Club.
A little bit. A little similar.
But you can talk about it though.
Well, apparently not.
Oh,
you can, but you can't just show up.
That's a very, very interesting.
I thought about it, and someone's like, "You shouldn't do that. It's a terrible idea."
No, well, there you go.
I was like, "Well, I guess we'll see."
It's not off the table for me yet.
Yeah. So I think I'd stumbled upon this verse, Proverbs 23:26, and it says, "My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways." So I titled this episode, "My son, give me your heart." We can talk about it a little bit. It's about a message on giving everything to Jesus for our greater good. So yeah, first question, where do we fail to give our all?
Everywhere.
Yeah, let's explain that. Let's explain it.
Any subjects where we don't?
No, let's explain
I'm
that.
I'm pretty
why,
sure
why?
It's everything.
Why? Tell me why.
Because we're failures as humans.
Okay.
We are sinful.
Bring it in. Let's talk about it.
I am.
I mean, it's obvious.
What do you want from me?
Keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
That, but more words.
Explain it.
I'm not a wordsmith. I'm here because I do this well.
We don't know what you're talking about. We have no video.
He pointed at his laptop.
For those I do of this us, well.
For those of you listening at home.
He touches the screens.
I don't touch screens. Don't touch
screens. Yeah, so it's like, you're right. We fail because we're sinners. We fail because we are broken.
Mm-hmm.
But keep going. Bring it in.
Maybe even before that, it's like, do we even understand what it means to give it our all?
Yeah.
Like, do people even know that that's what Christianity is? It's not.
Yeah. It's not a work. And by the way, it's not a works-based thing.
Yeah, but it's also not just like a one-and-done decision thing, right?
Not
it's not
all.
Just like, hey, I said a prayer, or I did a thing at a certain age, and now I'm good to go. But I think sometimes our understanding of what it means to be a Christian is too narrow to even understand that, hey,
yeah,
we do give it our all because, you know, all of Christ for all of life.
Well, it's not a payback system. Hopefully it's not what this sounds like, but it's like Christ gave all for us. We should give all for him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it should be the only thing that matters to us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and it should be the only thing that our eyes are focused on. It's like, I want to bring Christ wherever I am, being a parent, a husband, a coworker, a leader in our churches, a leader in our communities. Like, that's how it should be. We should be giving our all for the one that gave us everything. And we didn't deserve it. Mm-hmm. Super simple.
There you go.
Not at all.
I mean, we come into it with a mentality. I think anybody who like looks at church as either someone who's not a believer or someone who maybe, like in my case, thought I was for a long time mm-hmm. and then finally learned and God saved me later on. I look at it, well, yeah, man, I mean, God has at least like 60% of my life, so I'm doing really good. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at a pie chart of our life. And it's like, as long as I'm doing more than 50.
Yeah.
I mean,
That's a Western mentality. You think? It's like, well, he has a piece of me. Or that has a piece of me.
I would say it's Western for sure.
You think? Well, what do you think?
So in a lot of Eastern traditions, there's a balance-based kind of theology or religion or ritual or practice or whatever. And so I think that there is the same thing everywhere, I guess.
Yeah.
That
or honor and shame.
Yeah. So, but it all comes back to...
I think for most...
Balance.
Yeah, I think for most religions of any kind...
Tip the scales.
Yeah, including Christianity, it would be compartmentalization. Like, mm-hmm. everything has its place. Like, I have a religion, I have a job, I have a family. And, well, I think what makes Christianity unique is that Christ is over all of that and not just... It's just, well, this is what we do on Sundays or Saturdays or Fridays, and then this is what we do with our family. So, mm-hmm. I think it is more prevalent. Or it's prevalent with all religions.
Mm-hmm. All right, next question.
Oh, I do have a thought.
You go ahead.
So just the idea that I also think that
this
is more regional, at least where we are. There's this whole thing about enthusiasm and loving a thing and like a culture that tries to knock that out of the air. Like, just like, oh, you're really excited about this. You're a fan. You should calm down. Mm-hmm. You're making a scene. That's at least a Midwest thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't know if that's the rest of the country.
I think so.
I know it's definitely a Sioux City, Iowa thing. Like, it's bad here. It's worse here than in a lot of other Midwest places that I've been or visited. That it's like.
Can you please give an example of that?
Yeah.
Without being specific.
Yeah, bring it.
Oh, I'm just thinking about when I moved here. Just from Nebraska, which is only a state over, and
5 minutes away.
To go to a pep rally.
Yeah.
And so between 9th and 10th grade, which is when I moved, the culture shock of in 9th grade being like, everyone's excited for their school. School spirit is good. Everybody supports the team. Everybody shows up to the games. And then to move here and... they literally had to have a contest to see which of the 4 grades could cheer the loudest to see who got dismissed from the pep rallies first.
Yep.
Like,
I remember that.
The big change there was like, whoa, like, people really don't like the school here. What's going on? And then as I grew, I was like, oh no, it's enthusiasm. Hmm. We don't like enthusiasm here because you get noticed. You're not invisible when you're excited about something.
Yeah.
And I think that also happens with our faith.
Mm-hmm.
That we're like, oh, okay, you're on fire a little bit. Let's put that out. Okay.
Yeah.
Get the extinguisher.
There's a culture thing in Sioux City, though, that is very aggressive to being quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you better stay in your own lane or else. I mean, that might be elsewhere as well, but my entire life, it's been... I mean, I lived in San Antonio for a few months, and it wasn't nearly the same. Like, completely different culture, completely different environment, and everyone's super excited to be doing whatever they're doing, and they're excited for you to do whatever you're doing.
Hmm.
I'm not here.
Are you talking like, what are you talking about? Like, vocational-wise? Or
anything.
Or anything?
Okay. Anything.
I just wanted to, I didn't know if that was like a specific thing. So.
No. Anything.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. I mean, I've lived here over half my life now. And sometimes it does seem that way. It's like, well, nothing's ever going to get any better And when someone comes with a little bit of joy and excitement about something, you kind of like, it ain't gonna last. It sounds to me, I think
it's true.
I compared it to a New York style attitude when you have the bright eyed actor coming in like, I'm gonna make it in acting, and they're like, good luck, kid.
You're gonna fail.
You're gonna fail like all the other Midwesterns. That's how it usually goes.
What I think it is in every,
and then you're gonna get a Chicago necklace in the harbor.
What?
Sorry, that's a
Andrew. Get him a pair of cement boots.
Yeah,
pair of cement boots. Gonna go down to the bay.
I think just every story where like a kid wants to do something and the parents shut him down because, hey, calm down, it's not gonna be successful. All those parents move to the Midwest.
What are your experiences here? We've been talking.
Yeah. I've been thinking if that's like a universal thing or if it's a Sioux City only thing. Obviously, it's not Sioux City only.
Yeah, I mean,
there's other.
But I was wondering as you guys were talking, is it generational? Like, is it just being our age? It's like, it's just too cool for school. Like, don't. It's cool to not think anything's cool, and it's cool to be laissez-faire and hands off. It's like, it's cool not to be cool. And I'm with you guys. I mean, growing up, it's like you can be as excited as you want about anything. Just maybe don't go spaz. And like when I see people that are like super excited about something, I'm like, that's gonna be tough, dude. Like people are that you're gonna rub people the wrong way. Like button it up a little bit. I mean, keep it tight. Like
I don't know. Like there's something about living like a spirit filled life that But I think like the way I'm thinking, it's like, I know people that are just off the wall for Jesus, and they might think,
it's almost like a scale. Like once you get over a hump, then it's like, oh, he's just the weird guy, and we love him for that. But like there's this weird middle area where it's like, and I mean, I don't want to relate it to Revelation and the whole lukewarm thing, because I don't think that's maybe necessarily a fair depiction of what we're talking about. But it's like, if you lean hard enough into the weird, like then you're going to be okay, because everybody's like, okay, that's just who they are. But But there's definitely this, like, if you're a certain level of excited, we're going to try to knock that down. It's almost like you're close enough to us, we could bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think there's some guilt there, too, in that, man, that guy's just, like, doing a little bit better job than I am. Mm-hmm. But it'd be easier if he just wasn't. Instead of me getting better.
I heard a story. Sure. I'm sure it's not true, because if I told you the source that I got it, you'd be like, yeah, it's probably not true. But, like, it's called Crabs in a Bucket. They say that the easiest way to keep a crab in a bucket is to throw a second crab in there. Because you throw one crab in, then climb right out. But you throw two crabs in, the second the one gets too high, the other one pulls it down. So they say crabbers. Mm. And I think it's true. I don't know. But like the crabbers just says, all you need is two crabs in a bucket, and you'll never have to worry about them getting out.
That's good.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Looking this up now.
Yeah, Google it. Now, I'd be mortified if it was. But I read it in a book that I probably wouldn't recommend to anybody. So.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
No, so that being said.
I think that's interesting.
It's a thing.
No, there you go. Yeah. Well, hey, man, I'm glad that I didn't
make it up.
Are you real typing?
Yeah, he is.
That was still really loud.
Yeah. I don't know.
Has to do with giving it our all, but I'm with you.
Well, I think sometimes when we try to give our all, there's always that person's like, all right, dial it back. Bring it back because you're too much or whatever. Like, but this, I think we've lost, and this could be the internet age. But because we're exposed to everyone's scandals, that we're disillusioned by a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So we're like, well, I don't want to get too crazy because then I might become like that guy and fall from
or
grace.
Worse, or I worse, I don't want to follow that guy because it might be a front.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're skeptical and we question it all, which I think you should take that. I think you should probably take that approach with most things.
Yeah, I mean, question things, but don't be a negative Nancy about everything. Yeah.
Don't just jump on board.
That's my fault is I'm so negative about so many things that I shouldn't be just because I'm skeptical of everyone because I think everyone is always out to benefit themselves
or out to get you
or out to get me. Yep. It's usually those two things. So I'm like, oh, no, sorry. I don't believe you.
Oh yeah. And like, I'm that way too. But also it's like, it's easy to jump on the bandwagon when you have so many people around you doing the same thing. And then you're like, then you should, but you still should be like, hey, I'm going to back up figure this thing out on my own.
But don't actually back up from the microphone.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I physically...
You did back up.
Yeah.
It also doesn't help that everyone's out there proving Bryce right.
Yeah.
failing. He's like, man, I knew it. I knew they were corrupt.
I knew it.
No, there are people that I should have definitely trusted that I have been like, nah, you're...
Brett.
You're messed up. No. No, I...
No, we'll don't trust Brett.
I definitely do trust Brett. But... I don't know.
There's a book, and I haven't read it, but I think I know what it is from the title. It's called "Yawning at Tigers," and it's about losing awe in the Christian life, like losing this idea of like we get so into all of this life where these spectacular things are happening, faith is happening, fellowship is happening, the Bible is, you know, Christ is being preached somewhere, or. And then, yeah, the thing is like, well, that pastor's probably not really living it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's not that. You're looking it up, so. But still, at the same time. But there are other books out there. I don't know what they're titled, but this idea of like the losing of enchantment, the losing of awe, the losing of, we're so scientific and we're so whatever and we're so too cool for school that it's like, we don't want any of this. We don't want anything that Christianity has to offer, like wonder, excitement,
joy,
danger, joy. Mm-hmm. Like Christ has taken your life, man. That's dangerous. Like it's a dangerous calling. Like we're moving. Like he could call you to the mission field. He could call you to anything. And so I think we get so jammed up in our own minds about like, I want to give it all, but I want to give it all on my terms.
Yeah.
Oh, it's yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want to give our lives up that leave our little comfortable Midwest lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And though our lives are,
life is comfortable.
Yeah,
I always say, oh gosh, I just wish I always had this. I wish I always had this. I wish I had this. My life is pretty okay in comparison.
Well,
like Becca and I just had this conversation of like everything is so stressful. Everything is chaotic. But pulling it back and having a bird's eye view of everything going on, it's like we've had it way worse. I couldn't walk for months. This is not that bad. This is going to be okay. The Lord has carried us through the chaos.
Come on.
The Lord is still carrying us through this chaos. Is it more mentally straining? Does it suck a heck of a lot more? Yes, but the Lord is still going to carry us through this. He carried us through that situation. Amen. Maverick should not be alive.
Amen.
Becca had this weird blood thing that happened, and I can't even explain it all, but the blood of Maverick and Becca, they were fighting each other. Mm. And they...
Her body thought he was a parasite.
Yes, her body thought that Maverick was...
It tried
rejecting Maverick somehow by literally... It had to have been a miracle, because everything doctors said was, the baby's going to die. And he should have been dead. His umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck twice when he came out, but he was perfectly fine. Not blue, not purple, nothing. He was perfectly okay. And he was crying. He did everything he should have. And the Lord carried us through all of that chaos. The Lord kept Maverick alive. The Lord is keeping us in peace right now through all of this chaos. And it's all going to be okay. And our lives are really not that bad.
Mm-hmm. Bring it, man. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for sharing.
Sorry.
End of speech.
No, don't. Okay. First off,
I don't talk much on our podcast, but.
Yeah, I know. That was like more than the last few episodes. I like it.
Yeah, hey, it's probably the most.
Don't apologize. Do it again. Don't ever apologize.
Do it again sometime.
That was good.
Okay.
I love that. No, and then just look. Yeah. Just look at our lives. Look who carries us through our lives. Mm-hmm. And how we can brag on him. And like, it's not in our own strength, but he gives us strength to partner with him through all of these difficult, crazy times, because they will come. And they will come in different shades and different forms.
Yep.
But it's like, I don't know. I think we make things so complex. I think we think that giving it our all needs to be this grandiose, like, calling. God whispered his voice to me and told me to be the greatest influencer on all of TikTok. Like, if I haven't...
You don't even know what TikTok
is. No, I don't. But I was just like... I'm just thinking about this, like, because I'm doing this internship and they're talking about having a cultural immersion experience, and it the way they make it sound, it needs to be this grand thing. But I took a step back and I was looking
literally and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively. But I thought about it. I'm like, people in our town could give two craps about a thing that I was going to do.
Yep.
Like I thought about our town is skeptical about if I came and said, hey, I'm going to try to reach Muslims. Like, okay, I'll tell you the story here in a minute, but it has something to do with it. But I had talked to a lady and I had told her, I was like, I'm actually trying to talk to Muslims and bring the gospel. And the first thing she said is like, that's scary. I was like, what do you mean it's scary? She's like,
that was my initial response.
Well, she's like, Muslims are scary. I'm like, no, they're not.
Not because of that.
It was just like, I'm like, Muslims aren't scary. Like, the news portrays a lot of Muslims terribly.
Yeah.
But there's still people hungry for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we need to just ask God, like, give me the confidence just to talk to somebody. Not be like,
that's what's scary for me.
Yeah. help me be a witness. I think John Mark Comer said it well. It's like, live in a way that bears the question. Why do you live differently than the rest of the world? Like, why are you not sleeping around with multiple women? Why do you not affirm all these different sexual identities? Why do you treat your kids well? Why do you not smoke? Why do you not drink? Like, if you're into it, like, if you don't, it's like, because here's this. Simple. It's living. Like, doing this stuff and giving it our all is living every day and with our eyes faced to Christ. Simple. That sounds like it's not that complex. But our world is super into, like, the performance and making us look better. And we're supposed to make ourselves look less. What is it? Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, when Christ bids a man, he calls him to come and die. Like, die to ourselves. We said that on podcasts before, I believe. But that quote always kind of like sticks in me. Because it's like, he doesn't call us to, it is, I don't think he ever said thrive or like in that sense, like in the sense that we think like thriving means profiting, making money, being successful. We don't really necessarily think that's what that means.
I just think of Thrive Fitness. No, and like it, that thrive to me just means to push through.
Yeah. That's what it should mean, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it should be.
Go out by twos and be really, really like energetic and entertaining to people in crowds.
Yeah.
Make sure you have Starbucks coffee
as well. Ew. Burnt, gross coffee? No, thank you.
Ooh. Hey, we're not getting them as a sponsor.
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
I don't want them as a sponsor. They just also lost $25.5 million. So.
Okay. Bummer.
What's that? What does it look like for you guys to give our all?
I should have a good example a little bit.
Bring
I
think, got yeah. really excited. Yeah, I did.
Because normally my thought recall doesn't happen that quickly. So I had a moment of clarity. A couple years ago, I had a little bit of a panic. Panic is the wrong word. That's over dramatic. But I was thinking about the fact that, like, I work at a place where there's some cultural Christianity. I work at an unnamed craft store. We've talked about it.
It's Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
And we're not getting sponsored by them.
Yeah. No, that's
no okay. more knickknacks.
That's okay. But I thought, I was like, you know, a lot of young Christians apply there because they're like, their parents are like, oh yeah, that's going to be a safe place for you to work because it's all Christians and it's not. But it is.
Like the Christian bookstore. I worked there.
Yeah.
They went bankrupt.
We got words about
it. Not because of me.
Maybe, as far as we know.
I quit.
It's a corporate
allegedly.
Allegedly.
But I did have this thought. I was like, you know, it's going to be harder to do the whole, like, be a witness at work when cultural Christianity is a little bit more prominent there. Prominent?
Prominent.
Preeminent? Prominent?
Whatever. Prem-pem-pem-pem-pem-pem.
It's more. It is more.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That tracks.
Yeah. And... But then I noticed that, like, it wasn't an issue because I have, like, people that I work with that are at a prosperity gospel church. And mm-hmm. I have seen them go from, like, manic levels of faith when things are going well to these like severe drops when a little thing happens. Like, oh no, I have to go fix my car tire now, and that's going to cost, you know, set like however much money that I don't have right now because we don't get paid till Friday kind of a thing. And on a couple occasions had them, like, when they've heard, like, the story about, like, our old adoption journey that didn't go through and things like that, and they're like, how did you even survive that? I don't know if I could. I was like, I don't know if I'd be able to believe in God afterwards and stuff like that. And it's like,
that's not faith.
So
you must have been born into this, I'm assuming. Sounds like another religion.
Oh man. But I got to see firsthand that even though I was afraid I was not going to look different because everybody was trying to look like that, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That like God makes you different when you've been saved. He makes you noticeable. You still have to, you know, you still have to respond.
Well, it's not even us that are, I don't even think it's us that's noticeable.
It's one him. Of those paradoxical things where, like, it's all him, but we still have to do it, but it's also just all him.
Yeah.
I don't try to get it.
It's his flow. I mean, if you look at Genesis, it just, to me, reading the narrative, it seems that we were partners with each other, like God and us. It seemed like we partnered in his work. He made us to do his work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes out when we're being renewed and sanctified through our lives, that we're doing the work, like we're being the hands and feet and going forward and taking the good news to a darkened world. And I think, yeah, it's that partnership, you know, it's all him.
Just don't try to logically wrap your head around it.
No, it's
crazy. You will die.
It's so crazy, but I think it's also like pretty like right there too, like and pretty black and white.
Pretty neat.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, that's the coolest thing. Like, I get to partner with God in his work and seeing his kingdom come to be what it should be. Mm-hmm. Like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't get excited about it because it's not flashy most of the time. It's every day. It's everyday life. Brett had something, I'm assuming.
Why?
He was turning the Bible pages.
Well, yeah. I was just thinking.
It's always exciting when that happens.
I don't know about that, but. I think the question was, what does it look like in your daily life to give it all to God? And so I think of Philippians 2, where it says, you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, right? So there's what you guys were talking about, this idea of partnership and also God working, but it's a partnership, but he's working. But it goes on to say, God is working in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So also part of being a follower of Christ is that it changes even our desires. So when you say, like, what does it look like to give your all? For me, it's prayers like, God, I pray today that you would give me diligence in my work, that I wouldn't slack off, that I would, you know, work heartily. And I want to be patient with my kids or, you know, whatever. So to me, it's asking, because it says here that God will affect even my will, my desires, my what I'm going to do. So for me, on a good day, giving my all is starting by saying, God, I'm giving you everything. Like, help me to even desire to do the things you've called me to do. Give me the strength to do the things that you need me to do and want me and call me to do, command me to do would be a better way to say that. And so what you guys are all saying, it's the same thing as if we, our faith is so rich because it's not just external doing. It can be deep to the heart, saying, I desperately and really actually want to be a good employee to the glory of God. Yeah. I desperately want to be a good dad to the glory of God. So what you just said about, well, it's not flashy, now I don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't care if any of you see me do anything worthy of Christ. Because frankly, Jesus says, if you're rewarded by men, your reward's not in heaven anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't need you seeing me doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing, because that's not the point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Preach it.
And so I want it to be deep. And so whether everyone's looking, no one's looking, and frankly, I want to turn on the gas when no one's looking, because I want this to be for Christ.
Yes.
And so that giving it, not that I'm great at it. I mean, caveat, I'm not great at it. I'm a sinner. I'm a slacker. I'm all those things just as everyone else is, but I have good theology. So I at least know what to say.
Well, like my buddy John Dutton told me this, we're not just a theology, we're a people. Like that's what makes the Christianity different than any other religion. We are a people under a king, and we follow our king. Like, just we have the doctrine and the theology help us understand our king, but we're also a people. We're a family.
Yeah.
So we do this together. We don't do this separate. That's the different thing with like with Islam. You have to do all these works to get favor with Allah, but you have to do it by yourself. It's not really a communal thing. If you really look like high dive deep into it, like it's not a communal communal thing.
And religions don't typically teach that the God who requires it also gives you the ability. It's usually it's usually you need to do this so you get favor from your God. Where Christianity is, the favor's already on you. He's died for you.
Allah, he has no sons. There's no sons of Allah. We are sons and daughters of the King. That we're grafted and adopted into this kingdom, into this family. So, and I think I can't remember who said it, but they say like the kingdom of God is deeper than blood, or thicker than blood, of our biological family. Like what about that? But Brett, if you're struggling, like you can come to me, maybe not. But you can come to any of us. You know, like we can help you. We can carry you through the heart, like through the heartache or through like through the trial. You don't do it alone. You have our great king, but you also have your brothers and your sisters to carry you along.
Which would be working out, leading people back to the great king, right? So it's not separate things,
it's like
right?
a giant circle. Yeah. It just goes and goes. It's it's nuts, but it's amazing. And there's no other hope besides the hope that comes from Christ.
Right.
And we can give that to people by the way that we live, by the way that we give it our all.
You quoted John Mark Comer, but John Mark Comer was just quoting Peter when he said, it's about your righteousness. It's that we should always be ready to give an account for the hope that is in us, right?
Yep.
Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you.
Yeah.
So why are you so different? Well, be ready.
Yeah.
Because people are going to ask.
Yeah. Always. And when you say, God, like, let me be the vessel. Like, I want to partner with you. Use me. He will use you. I started having this repetitive prayer in the morning of like, my God, help me speak to someone that needs to hear this. And my grandma calls me every morning on my work days.
It's super cute.
It's awesome. And that's the one, like two things she prays. She's like, I pray that we have a great day and that we're able to share you with someone that needs to hear it every time. And it just reminds me throughout the day. I'm like, God, give me someone that I can share this good news, this hope in our darkened, hopeless world. And he does. He answers that. I get to tell my coworkers, and they ask me these deep theological questions, and I'm able to respond and be like, no, this is false, but this is true. This is so good. Like, and God will answer your prayer. If you say, God, I want to be used. Here it is. Here's your opportunity. And then we go and we run with it. And I think, so today I was reading in Psalms. I'll read two different versions. I read the Christian Standard versions and the New English Translation. I think they kind of like put the whole picture together of that verse. But it says, so it's Psalm 51:12. It says, restore the joy. This is the CSB version. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. And I'll go to the New English Translation that says this. I think kind of like for me, it put it together a little bit more and a little bit clearer. But it said, let me again experience the joy of your deliverance. Sustain me by giving me the desire to obey. I think that word desire. Hmm. Like give me a desire to do your will. Like it has to change our hearts. It can't be a works or anything like that. It can't be something to make you look better than everybody else and make you popular and famous. And I'm pursuing my dream. Hey, and why did you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yep.
But anyways, no, it's a desire. Oops, shoot. Sorry. Dang feet.
One day he will be a mustard.
One day he'll no. Casting crown. Anyways, but no, it's like, we need to ask for the desire to have our hearts changed. We need to ask, what is that? What are you?
He's a frog.
That's cool. Yeah. But desire. So what's desire? Anybody?
Passion.
Desire.
Motives that you don't have to like make yourself get into, that are just like, it's what you're aiming at already.
Right.
Desire, Brett. What is it?
What is it to me? I mean, because I guess I don't know the textbook definition.
Desire.
Yeah, I would say desire would be the overriding goal set before you, normally from an internal perspective. So yeah. It's the thing that I greatest want to accomplish in any circumstance.
Mm-hmm. So was it strongly wish for or want, a strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen? So desire.
Pictures they have with that are kind of stupid.
It's very strange.
It's very like weird.
Water and fire and a lip. Interesting.
You're looking at like tarot cards or what? Like what's going on?
It's just like, there's like stock photos. Like if you put desire to have stock photos, it would be like, well, apparently water.
I feel like, so I'm reading Revelation in my personal Bible reading, yes. And I feel like I just had a moment where someone was trying to describe a picture to me, like John's trying to describe the end of the world. I'm like, this feels very Revelation-esque. It's like a lip.
Is it a
fire?
Is it apocalyptic?
It's a fire.
Yeah. But yeah. So like desire. So what would be, what is our natural tendency, our desires, our self? So we ask God to switch that desire to what he desires.
I would say the overriding desire for any human would be the preservation or flourishing of self over anything and everyone, including God. I mean, that's the sin of the garden. That's every sin, right? It's I want to be my own God. I want to do my own thing. I want to be completely autonomous. I want what I want. You know, why are we mad at God? Because I don't have the future that I want. I don't have what I want. I want to sit on the throne and make all the calls of my own life.
There you go.
And so I think that's how we come out of the box. That's our default state. And I think it's a state we still fight as followers of Christ. We just use more Christianese. We say like, well, I've been praying that God would just give me this.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's not answering because it's no. Maybe he already answered.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've had to come to the conclusion of no.
Right.
You know, and that's hard
because
I'm like, well, this thing sounds really godly and I think it could be used to be that way, but maybe it's not God's desire or his will for my life because he has some other thing that'll be 10 times better. Or it's just live your life for me and be a witness. So would you agree that if we want to desire the things of God and obey the things of God, we need to have a little bit of self-denial, like deny ourselves of some of the things that we would want?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I mean,
talk about it. What does that look like?
That depends on this person, depends on the situation.
Yeah. Okay, Bryce, what does it look like for you to deny things?
That's a great question. I don't think I can answer that while we're recording right now.
Well, we'll figure it out. we got some time. Andrew, tell me. So what is something, like what does it look like for you to deny the things that you want? What does it look like for self-denial?
I think for me personally, it would be like making time to like do wasteful entertainment, TV, video games, just like stuff that numbs your brain and you just get nothing done.
Yeah.
It's like anytime I find myself falling into a rut, it's because I've like gotten back to valuing that enough. It's like, well, all right, I've got this in my work day and then Brittany goes to bed and then I've got like a couple hours where I can finally play some video games. I haven't done that since yesterday. It's like, yeah, it was, becoming a problem again. Okay.
Yeah.
And to see that's just like, yeah. So that's like it's an addiction. I think that most of the time we're all dealing with stuff that has aspects of addiction, if not actually addiction, but like, I mean, that's kind of what we have as addiction to self and whatever that looks like.
Or like pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to go back. That would probably be mine as well. My default is I pull my phone, I play these stupid games because it's mind-numbing and I want to decompress from the day. And what did I do? Then I really need to decompress every day and play this game. It's called Tower Defense. It is fun.
But these chickens that lay rocket fuel eggs aren't going to hatch themselves.
I'll play that game. I can play Tower Defense.
This game needs me and all the millions of people.
I'm on level like 1,674 or something. Like, do I really need to be on almost a level 2,000? No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. Look, they give you these arbitrary cities that you travel to make you feel like you've accomplished something while playing these cupcake puzzle games.
Mm.
So you could stop anytime. I'm just about to get into Marshmallow City.
I think we'll have Brett go last. So I think with self-denial for me, so I can get into a thing of trying to do holy things to make myself look better.
Because you're better than us.
No, I'm not better.
He just looks better than us.
Oh. It just makes me look better because I'm like, oh, I fast. I do all these things. But I'm like,
but then you're telling people.
I'm like, why am I saying it?
I'm not supposed to. Yeah, do it louder, man.
Yeah, I think I listened to a podcast about simplicity of speech and simplicity of thought. And I'm like, I need to be a little bit more quiet about the things that I do, because what I'm trying to do is give more praise to God. So that's between me and him, not between me and everyone, him and everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I get awkward. Like, I was offered a free meal and I was like, well, I can't right now. I'm like, well, why not? I'm fasting, but I don't want to tell you. And they're like, oh, okay. That's fine. I'm like, I feel like I'm already breaking some sort of thing saying this to you right now. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm not trying to be bloaty. I'm like, I'm just saying things. I guess gloaty is what I meant to say.
Gloaty.
Yeah. Trying not to gloat in my.
I got ankles that look like pancakes right now, man. I got to work. I got to lose some of this water weight.
But yeah, so it's like I have that issue, or I really enjoy creating. And sometimes I had to deny that from my life because it became about me and not about God. And that's hard for me because I love to take something that isn't there and make it something. So I like to take a guitar riff and make it into a song and add other people's input and put all these different kind of levels and layers. And it starts off really well. And like, oh, I'm doing God gave it, is giving me these ideas. And then I'm like, wait, no, it's me. Like, it's me again. It's coming back to me. Even with this podcast, it could be like, I'm doing all these cool things. I want God to be made known. And then I'm like, well, I'm really good at this. I'm really doing well at this.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, whoa, it's about me again. So it's like a never-ending cycle, at least on this side of eternity.
Yeah, it's really hard for me with the podcast side of it, because right? I could see all of our listens. You guys don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggle telling you guys because I'm like, oh, yeah, look, oh, this is, we have a ton of listens. Look at this. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because, why are you listening to us? We're just four weirdos sitting in a basement. Yeah. But, it goes to my head. I'm like, oh, what we're doing is really good. It's really beneficial to people. But it's not about us. And, in that moment, I'm like, I feel good about us. And I'm like, mm-hmm. That's not what this is about.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason why I don't tell you guys.
Which is fine. Like,
if you ask, I'll tell you. But
I love the mystery. Sometimes,
to think we're just talking to tens of people.
This go around, I kind of the mystery. I'm like, oh, if we're doing something cool, I guess that's awesome. And if it's just for us, you know what? Then when we're old, we can look back and be like, look what we did together. Look what we brought to the table.
I mean, we got hours just spent around talking to each other.
Yeah.
Who cares if it's for anyone else? Is glorifying God, just the four of us.
Your turn.
Great. I'd love to go last. One of the blessings and frustrations of being a follower of Christ is the more you grow in your sanctification, the more you realize you need to grow in your sanctification. So I don't have time to tell you guys of all the areas that I feel like I come up short, right? It's just so much. It's lack of diligence at work. It's striving to do hobbies. It's you guys are saying, none of it in itself is innately sinful, right? I know enough about the Christian life to not hopefully, Lord willing, walk into just blatant sin. But
yeah,
just the grinding of like, am I doing it right? Am I being the kind of employee that glorifies God? Am I being, you know, am I using my time effectively? Yeah. So I have all the same stuff, right? Like I love food too much. I love my image a lot. I want mm-hmm. to be thought of well. And I will go to great lengths to try to look well. Yeah, what else is it? I mean, I go to the gym because I don't go because I want to be healthy. I want to look better in a t-shirt. Like there's nothing noble there. Like
he goes for vanity muscles.
Vanity muscles. Yeah, those are show muscles. Those are workhorse muscles. What do I mm-hmm. need muscles to type? So, and you know, so everything you guys are saying, I'm with you. And yeah, and I guess maybe just to try and say something that is maybe edifying to anyone that would hear the sound of my voice is like we are still required to carry the fire in our hands, right? Meaning yeah. like just because we could skew into vanity or into making ourselves look good, especially with ministry things, like, but we're still called to proclaim the name. Mm. So if we're going to do a podcast, let's do one about Christ, right? Mm. That's a good thing.
Mm. Amen.
So we'll do it. And yeah. let's just pray that it doesn't go to our heads. And if yeah. it does, you know, God's got grace for that too.
Yeah.
And so it's important. It's important to do that. But yes, I have a lot. And the question you asked here was, why is self-denial so important and how can it benefit us? This is why, right? Like mm-hmm. like you quoted Bonhoeffer already, like self-denial is saying, God, you are more valuable to me than my own base desires. Mm-hmm. So the question, so wrapping them together, what does it look like to give your all? It's saying even to my desires, the level of my desire, I want it to change.
Yeah.
Like I want to say, like in your case with fasting, I want to hunger for you today, God, mm-hmm. you know, and like for work, it's like, I want to work for you today, God. Mm-hmm. I want to be a dad for you today, God. I want to be a husband for you today, God, because you are worth all of it. Mm-hmm. And so I want to deny my rights.
Yeah.
Right. We were joking off air about the Duggar podcast. Right. And the whole thing about that was mm-hmm. this skewed view of authority mm-hmm. and like what dad says goes in the house. That's not the servant leadership that I see in Ephesians 5.
No way.
But I can real quick to say, hey, I need a little bit of respect around here because I'm the man. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all far too, you know, metropolitan to ever say anything so crazy. But the
idea, I was raised by hippies.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and I was not either. But that's me trying to my image. I was like, I'll be Mr. like I'm with you guy, but I wasn't. No.
That's fine.
But again, it's this like so there's these things that your mind gets all wound up in these things and it's just I want my way. I want my comfort and ease and I want to be thought of. I don't want to die to myself today. Maybe tomorrow. Would someone die for me today? Mm. Would someone around here die for me? Would you make my job a little easier? Would you make raising you a little bit easier today, young one? Because I want someone to. I feel like I'm the only one dying around here. Mm. And again, that martyr complex. Not Christian. But I got it. Told you, there's not enough time to describe to you.
Mm. I feel like you're just like ripping open my life.
Yeah,
I feel like
you're talking about yourself, but you're really talking about
we all
have them. You've just identified yeah. them better than we do.
Yeah, you're really good at that.
I should clarify. I wasn't raised by hippies. Good. My mom was not a hippie.
No,
let's hippie.
Your dad was definitely a hippie, though.
He's a young hippie.
Yeah,
I feel like your mom was still a hippie.
No, she was an army kid. Well, her dad was a Navy drill sergeant.
That's
type
fair.
Person.
That's fair.
She married a hippie.
Yeah.
I think that kind of plays into the Hudson Taylor quote that says, God isn't looking for people of great faith, but individuals ready to follow him.
I mean, you know? The Bible would say yeah. faith is a gift, right?
So yeah.
We're not bringing that.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a gift.
So, yeah.
So he's not saying, you know, that again, that's Eastern mysticism, right? That's mm-hmm. clean your room and then you'll get the mm-hmm. benefit. Bring the faith and then you'll get the God. It's mm-hmm. like, no, God gives it all to us.
God gives it all right away. That's why you don't have to continually just, like you said, go to the altar, mm-hmm. sinner's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go 15 times a month.
Dude, you don't
have to raise your hand to receive salvation multiple times because you screwed it up.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I did when I was a kid because that's what I was taught. That's
the culture.
It was, yeah, that's what I was taught. I pray every night, Lord, please forgive me of my sins and come into my heart.
Because it's like it's going to strike you down. Night
that's what for felt like. Years. Yeah. Man, I can picture myself laying in my bed, my hands folded, looking up, going, God, please.
God, don't send me to hell.
I would say that. I was literally about to come out of my mouth. Don't send me to hell. I don't want to be on fire.
Why are you a little Southern boy?
I don't know. I'm not Southern at all. I don't know.
You did live in San Antonio for a couple months.
Yeah, four. Sure.
That changes people.
When he was in his late 20s.
Late 20s? It was my early 20s.
But isn't that...
You're old man.
Isn't that a good thing? Like, I hear two young children laying in their beds desperately wanting to know Christ. That's not all bad.
No.
You know, but you're right. But
yeah.
This is why I think good theology matters, right?
Yes,
it does. Because you guys desperately wanted something and you didn't know what you were looking for. And fortunate. But you were looking, and praise the Lord for that.
Yeah. Segue into my story. Story hour. Well, not hour.
Yeah, maybe not.
So you all know, hopefully, that we're all believers here. We follow the ways of Jesus the best way we can. But sometimes you are the one that gets witnessed to. And that happened to me. And if some of you don't listen to didn't watch the earlier stuff, I'm covered in like tattoos or whatever. I'm an ex skater and punk rock guy, right?
Ex skater. Still on the skateboard, still tries to skate.
I do try.
Falls down.
Fall down my entire body.
That means I'm an ex skater. I've fallen off skateboards many times.
He still tries.
I still try.
He's 30 something years old.
So with my job, I go to people's homes and work on the technology that we use. So the equipment. I went there and this older lady came up behind me and she's like, "Hey, what do you think of the current events going on right now?" And I stood up, I looked over, I said, "Well, I guess it's just the way that you look at it." And she's like, "I think it is all prophetic." I'm like, "What do you mean prophetic?" She's like, "I think it's from the Bible. I think we're seeing the Bible unfold in front of our eyes." I'm like, "Well, maybe. Maybe could be. It seems that way sometimes." She's like, "Well, do you read the Bible?" I'm like, "Well, oh yeah." I'm like, I've been a Christian since I was like 14. I don't really think she believed me, but
well, that can't be true. You done got tattoos.
And so she kept going on, and she's like, Yeah, you have you heard of Jimmy Swaggart?" And I was like, "I have." Like, that's what I said in the back of my head. I'm like, "Oh no." And she pulls up this magazine with, if anyone knows Jimmy Swaggart, like, Charlatan. Come on, man. Great songs, but just terrible.
Yeah.
A swindler.
Can you hold on? Just pause.
Yes.
Did he write great songs, or was that part
of
the joke?
No, he did.
Oh, see, I don't know.
He's like Kenneth Copeland, the Elvis Presley of Christian music.
Okay.
Anyways.
We all know Kenneth Copeland. That last one was a banger.
Be 100% honest with you, I could not think of a single Jimmy.
No, I don't know either. But like,
I've never heard one.
Anyone I have talked to, they're like, "Jimmy Swaggart's got a great voice and great songs." And I was like, "Okay."
Does he?
I'm like, "Okay." But anyways, she's like, so she hands me this magazine, gives me this magazine. If anyone knows anything about Jimmy Swaggart, he's a prosperity gospel goon.
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh, okay, thanks." And she's like, "You know what else I do? I get these Bibles and I give them to people. They're the Jimmy Swaggart Bibles." And if you actually look into a Jimmy Swaggart Bible, so traditionally in the West, we have Jesus's words in red. Well, Jimmy Swaggart's words are in red instead.
That's so weird.
So weird. Heretical. Anyway.
Also, I'm looking over Andrew's shoulder, and he's Googling the entire catalog of Jimmy Swaggart, and he has an Expositor's Bible, which makes me want to throw up in my mouth.
The one I got.
You got to be kidding me. He didn't exposit anything.
You want Jesus to come in your life? He says blessed. He means blessed. He wants you to have money. So she gave me that, and I think the words that came out of my mouth, I'm like, "Oh, what a blessing."
What a blessing.
I was like, and I'm like, just because I'm like, this has never happened. And I think I called a couple of you guys. I was like, "Hey, I was witness to you today. I'm born again."
Yeah. When you told me that, I was like, I don't know. I thought something
not yeah. kind, but
I thought words.
I thought not kind things.
You can get a Jimmy Swaggart Expositor's New Testament for free for the military and first responders serving anywhere in the continental United States.
And you better not be serving overseas in Germany.
Oh,
this is America. But yeah, that's my story of being brought into the kingdom again.
That's not how that works.
I've been saved once more.
Once again.
You are more saved than other people now.
Yeah, thanks to Jimmy Swaggart.
Crushing it.
A larger wedge of your pie is now forgotten.
Exactly.
We wrap it up here.
Yeah. We better wrap that up.
I have,
on that.
And I have one more thing to leave you with.
Can we not end with heresy, please?
Yeah, let's come back to something good.
It's not going to be good. I know what I see what he's looking up. It's not good.
When Brandon lifts the left finger to be like, hey
hold on.
That's the Bernie Sanders thing.
Are you having a...
Dad, will you put my shirt on? No, it won't fit me. Dad joke.
Well, and to quote our president, God save the queen.
Did he say that?
Yes, he did.
No.
God save the queen.
Like, how recently?
Like, the one
this weekend. This was all over Twitter.
No, dude.
All over Twitter.
You're lying.
God save the queen. Him.
She's dead.
She died, dude.
Like, it's the king now.
Yeah.
I mean.
That's rough.
Though it would have been quite a miracle if
that's
he
true.
Said that. And then,
but,
and
to be fair, happened. She was probably saved. They say she really walked it, so.
That's cool.
Her son's a dumpster fire, but I feel like I shouldn't say that because we probably have listeners in England. I would hate to.
As far as I can see, we don't have any.
Oh, we're solid.
Netherlands and Germany are number ones. That's not true. U.S. is number one.
Anything I know about Germans is that they're big fans of British royalty.
Yeah. Dude, okay.
So are Canadians.
Ever since the 30s.
That's.
Oddly.
All right.
That's straight up a lie. Like, they hate each other.
Oh. Well, I don't know anything. So
I'm just telling you. So I had a German foreign exchange student that roomed with us in college, and he was like, "I came back. That was the year I went and visited. So Naomi spent a semester abroad over there in England, and I went over there. I came back with a giant England scarf. I still have it. I think it's a great scarf.
Oh, beautiful.
And he goes, "Oh man, that's not good. For like, I couldn't wear that. And I go, "Why? He goes, "Oh, relations. You're not good between those two countries." I said, "Really?" I said, "It's 2005. I mean, everything's." He's like, "No, it's not good." So, thinking at all, I feel like that was a meandering story with no payoff. So you might want to cut that out.
Just one little blitzkrieg, and everyone's all upset.
Yeah, you get all wound up because you're trying to, you know, world
Isn't
domination.
Isn't that a song?
That's blitzkrieg bop.
Blitzkrieg bop. Oh, the Ramones. Yeah.
Oh, is that who that is? I officially hate it.
Oh, come on.
I didn't like it before. It's fine. I just wanted to say that for you.
Don't let the title fool you. It's about World War II.
It is.
I understand now.
It's not
just like Commando is about Vietnam.
The Arnold Schwarzenegger vehicle?
Well, maybe.
Oh.
I recently purchased a toilet brush. Long story short, I'm going back to toilet paper.
Oh,
my gosh. Okay. Hey, I guess we're signing off.
There we go.
It's 10:30 Central Time.
P.M.
Man, we'll see.
What?
Maybe if I walk outside, it'll be morning again. We never know.
Talking about.
I am late getting home.
I can't believe I stayed here all night and talked to you guys. Anyways, hey, this has been Outsiders Podcast. Thanks for listening. See you. Well, no, we won't. Hey, bye.
God save the queen, man.
We love you. Bye.
I still have the last word.